The epistle for the fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare Sunday, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave girl, the other by a free woman, and the son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman, in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory, for these are the two covenants, one indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that dost not bear. Break forth and cry, thou that dost not travail. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, are the children of promise, as Isaac was. But as then he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son, for the son of the slave girl will not be heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of a slave girl, but of the free woman, in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. John chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd, because they were witnessing the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up the mountain and was sitting there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen that a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, that each one may receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Jesus then said, Make the people recline. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore reclined in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those reclining, and likewise the fishes, as much as they wished. But when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted. They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves that left over by those who had eaten. When the people therefore had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, This is indeed the prophet who is come into the world. So when Jesus perceived that they would come to take him by force and make him king, he fled again to the mountain himself alone. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So today is Laetare Sunday. Rejoicing Sunday. We've passed the halfway point of Lent, hence we wear the rose vestments. And make the resolution, of course, to finish out a good Lent. But today, a consideration rather on the epistle of yesterday. Yesterday was called Susanna Saturday. And each the Saturday in which we read the epistle of the story of Susanna contained in the book of Daniel, chapter 13. So it's a very famous story, of course, in the Old Testament, which we should all already be familiar. But in case we are not, we'll have to remind of the story. And Susanna, yesterday we considered the faith of Susanna as compared to the misunderstandings of the apostles today. Today in the Gospel, our Lord says, Philip, when shall we buy bread? So Philip was the apostle who always knew about the cost of things. 200 denarii is not enough. Andrew was just hungry and wanted some food to eat, and he had his eyes on 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And so he said, "There's a boy here at 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. I want to eat that, but what are these amongst so many?" To cover himself, he says, "What are these amongst so many?" So Andrew is worried about his own belly. Philip is worried about the money that it will cost. And Christ alone himself knows what he shall do. We consider in one sense the weak faith of Philip and St. Philip and St. Andrew in the Gospel today compared with the incredible, unfathomable faith of Susanna in the Old Testament. And so today a consideration of the beautiful story of Susanna contained in the book of Daniel chapter 13, in which we read yesterday in the Mass, which is, you know, yesterday is named after her in the day of Lent, simply called Susanna Saturday. And the story of Susanna, it is the first work of prophecy that will happen in the life of Daniel. Daniel will be a prophet from the age of 12, like Isaiah, who became a prophet at the age of 12 also, between the age of 12 and somewhere around the age of 90 when he would die. For more than 80 years, he would be a prophet. But his first year of prophecy was when he was 12 years old, a young boy. He was not known until Susanna. And Susanna is the one who will show to us the first great act of Daniel the prophet. But Susanna, in the book of Daniel chapter 13, she was a beautiful woman, a very beautiful woman, who was married to Joachim, who was an exceedingly wealthy man in the city of Jerusalem. And this takes place about 600 years before Christ, this event. And so Joachim was on a journey, a trip of some kind. And Susanna was not only a very beautiful woman, but she was an exceedingly virtuous woman who was raised in the law of Moses to follow it perfectly by her parents. And she was a very virtuous lady. And it so happened that there were 2 Jewish judges who were in charge of the city of Jerusalem. And these judges were filled with lust. And the 2 judges independently decided that they wanted to sin with Susanna. And so one day they went to the garden, seeing her schedule, that there were times when she would be alone in the orchard of her husband, with her servants all gone. And so she would send her maids away and then prepare herself for a bath. And at this time, the 2 of them went in, not knowing that the other was going to be there, and seeing each other present for this commission of the same sin, they decided to conspire one with another, the 2 judges. And so they went to Susanna, and they said to Susanna, "You have 2 choices. You can sin with us, or if you do not sin, we will claim that we ourselves, the judges of the people, have seen a man with you, and that you were committing adultery, and according to the law of the Jews, you are to be stoned to death. We will be the witnesses, and we are also the judges. You cannot escape our hands. And so you must therefore consent to sin with us." And then Susanna, she is the example given by the fathers of the church of perfect faith found in the Old Testament. There are really 2 great examples of perfect faith. One is Susanna and the other is Abraham. When Abraham was asked to slay his only son, he did not question God, but he went to slay his own son. And Susanna is in a situation. And Susanna sighed, and she said, "I am straitened on every side, for if I do this thing, it is death to me. And if I do it not, I shall not escape your hands." This is one of the passages in sacred scripture in which sin is referred to as death. We tell the children in the catechism classes, and we also tell the adults, that a mortal sin is a killing of the soul. And that mortal sin causes death to the soul. And those who enter into eternity with this death on their souls will be eternally dead with Satan in hell. And so Susanna is one of the great persons of the Old Testament that refers to sin as death. And it is interesting, we see her values.
She is in a hopeless situation. She must choose to sin or she will be condemned to death by the two judges. And she knows that they are in earnest and that they will really do this thing. But she does not say, if I give in, if I don't give in, I'm going to be dead. She rather says, if I do give in and you let me physically live, I shall be dead. She considers only one death, and that is the death of the soul. And here we see the great virtue of Susanna. And so she sighed and she said, if I am straitened on every side, there is no escape for me. For if I do this thing, it is death to me. If I do it not, I shall not escape your hands. But it is better for me to fall into your hands without doing it than to sin in the sight of the Lord. See the incredible virtue of Susanna. It is better for me to fall into your hands without sinning than to sin in the sight of the Lord. And with that, Susanna cried out with a loud voice. There are several virtues that Susanna shows here. One, she only wants to do that which is right, and sin is death to her. And secondly, she doesn't play games with it. She doesn't delay. She takes action immediately, lest there be a continuation of temptation. And so rather than just trying to get the elders to change their minds, to realize that they're being deceived by their own vices, and that they should quietly leave the garden, leave the orchard, so that Susanna can be left in peace and that they can be not embarrassed and not be made to commit a greater sin, she does not argue with them. She immediately cries out with a loud voice, so that witnesses will come. She cries out with a loud voice, and her servants come. When she cries out, the older men cry out as well. And then one of them runs and opens the gate of the orchard and comes back. And the servants surround Susanna and all the members of the household. And the elders say, we were in this garden and watching from behind a tree. And we saw a young man come into the garden. And this young man did sin with Susanna. And we were appalled at this great sin. And so we went to tell the man, but he was young and stronger than us. And he rose up and he overpowered us and ran out of the orchard, leaving the gate open. The man is gone. We inquired concerning his name, but she would not tell us, and where he was from, and she would not give us any enlightenment. But we ourselves have seen her commit the sin. And we ourselves saw the man, and we ourselves chased the man, and he went out of the orchard. And so she is guilty of adultery, and according to the law of Moses, she must be put to death. And all the people were amazed, because each one considered Susanna a virtuous lady. But still, the elders had seen with their own eyes, and there were two witnesses. Not only were there two witnesses, but two of the most upstanding witnesses in the entire city of Jerusalem, the actual judges of the people. And so they put their hands upon her head, showing that they vowed the truth of their statements. They put their hands upon her head, showing they vowed the truth of their statements. And the people, seeing that the elders vowed the truth of their statements, saw that she must be guilty. And so they with haste carried her outside of the city of Jerusalem in order to stone her to death. And as they were on their way outside of the city, and therefore all of her friends and her acquaintance wept. But the two elders, rising up in the midst of the people, laid their hands upon her head, and she, weeping, looked up to heaven, for her heart had confidence in the Lord. So see the great example of confidence. Her heart had confidence in the Lord. And the elders said, they told their lies that I just explained to you, and then Susanna cried out with a loud voice and said, O eternal God, who knowest all things before they come to pass, thou knowest that they have borne false witness against me, and behold, I must die, whereas I have done none of these things which these men have maliciously forged against me. So she cries out with a loud voice and prays publicly to God that she is innocent and God knows her innocence, and that these malicious judges have spoken ill against her. And the Lord heard her voice, and the Lord heard her prayer.
And when she was led to be put to death, the Lord raised up the Holy Spirit of a young boy whose name was Daniel. He's 12 years old. And he cried out with a loud voice, I am clear from the blood of this woman. Here we can imagine the power of the presence of Daniel. The entire crowd of the Jewish people are carrying a Susanna out to be executed, to be stoned to death. When the judges were the witnesses of her crime and they condemned her to death, the most firm condemnation that can come. And a 12-year-old boy stands up upon a rock in the midst of the people and cries out with a loud voice saying, I am clear of the blood of this woman. And they were so overtaken by the power and conviction of his voice. We liken Daniel, says St. Augustine, to our Lord Jesus Christ when he was 12 years old. And like Daniel, he would speak out with a loud voice, but to the scribes and the Sadducees and the priests in the temple. And they would be amazed at his wisdom and his answers. That even at the age of 12, Christ was in command and Christ had power. And here we see the power of Christ when he was 12 years old in the form of a type. A type is something that happens in the Old Testament, a real historical event, which also stands for something that takes place in the New Testament. Here, Daniel, at the age of 12, saving Susanna, is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 12, talking to the scribes and the Sadducees and the priests in the temple about the coming of the Messiah. And so Daniel stands up upon a rock and says, I am clear of the blood of this woman. And he does not at all speak like a boy. He speaks as one who is with totally confident. Daniel was 100% confident at the age of 12, like the young boy, 12-year-old David, going down to slay Goliath. Without any fear and with total confidence, he enters into the valley of death. So likewise, Daniel stands up in front of all the people. Then all the people, turning towards him, said, What meaneth this word that thou hast spoken? But he, standing in the midst of them, said, Are ye so foolish, ye children of Israel, that without examination or knowledge of the truth, you have condemned a daughter of Israel? Return to judgment, for they have borne false witness against her. And so all the people turned again in haste. And Daniel said to them, Separate these two far from one another, and I will examine them. There are some souls that have an incredible presence. The presence of Daniel is incredible. The judges have condemned Susanna to death. They must be protesting about the coming back to judgment, but the people are so overpowered by the innocence and by the power of the words of Daniel that they do not listen to the judges. And when he says, take those two old men, those two evil men, and separate them one from another, the people listen to Daniel and not to the old men that are protesting. They separate the two. And then Daniel calls the first one before him to be judged. The 12-year-old boy judging the elder. And Daniel said to them, Separate these two men. And he called one of them, and he said to him, O thou art grown old in evil days. Now are thy sins come out, which thou hast committed before, in judging unjust judgments, in oppressing the innocent, and letting the guilty to go free. Whereas the Lord said, The innocent and the just thou shalt not kill. Now then, if thou sawest her, tell me under what tree you saw her, who saw them conversing together. And he said, under a mastic tree, which in the Latin is under a skenus tree, under a cutting tree. And then Daniel says to him, Well have you spoken evil and lied against your own head, for you shall be cut in two by the Lord. And so he curses the man. And he said, having put him aside, he commanded the other one should come. And he commanded that the other one should come, and he said to him, O thou seed of Canaan and not of Judah, beauty hath deceived thee, and lust hath perverted thy heart. Thus did you do to the daughters of Israel, and they for fear conversed with you, but a daughter of Judah would not abide your wickedness. Now therefore tell me, under what tree did you see them conversing together? And he answered, under a holm tree. And Daniel said to them, Well hast thou lied against thine own head, for the angel of the Lord waiteth with a sword to cut thee in two and to destroy you.
And so he caused them to convict their own selves by their own mouth. But Daniel did not doubt that God would be, that God's truth would come forth. Susanna did not doubt that she would be saved in her innocence. And so through the administration of Daniel, Susanna is saved. It is one of the great examples of total confidence and of perfect faith. And St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that once we have seen the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should have total faith. And yet we do not have it. We doubt. We doubt that God is going to provide for us whenever we have a difficulty or a crisis. We doubt that He is going to come through, even though our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount that if seek first the kingdom of God and His justice, and all other things shall be added unto you beside. We have the true faith, and yet we do not live according to that faith. Susanna did not have the benefits of the Catholic. She did not see Christ. She only knew about the Messiah to come. She only knew about Moses and the miracles of the Old Testament, but she knew not about the even greater miracles of the New Testament. We must remember that the lives of the saints and the miracles contained therein, sacred scripture and the miracles contained therein, the miracles performed by our Lord Jesus Christ are true historical events. They are undeniable. They show to us through historical recounting, such as here in the book of Daniel chapter 13, what God does and has done to those who have total confidence in Him and are members of His true faith. And yet, we who are members of the true faith do not have this confidence. Our Lord said to the Jews that were complaining against Him, You say you are the sons of Abraham. If you are the sons of Abraham, do the works of Abraham. And the same can be said of us who have the Catholic faith. We say that we are the spiritual and true sons of Abraham. And we are. But if we are the sons of Abraham, do the works of Abraham. Have the faith of Abraham. Do whatever it is that God demands of us, and do not fear the modern world. Don't fear what the enemies of God have to bring. The only thing that we should fear is what Susanna feared, and that is the commission of a mortal sin. Two judges, they cannot harm us. And our Lord, at the end of the gospel today, after he fleds himself into the mountain alone, he performs a great miracle of turning the barley loaves and fishes to be able to feed the 5,000. And they want him to go and feed more. If God can get me a job worth 100,000 a year, maybe He can get me a job worth 200,000 a year. They want us to get more. If He can provide me with material sustenance, maybe He can provide me with more material sustenance. God does provide us with material sustenance because we are human beings with a human body, and He knows the needs of that body. But He does not give us sustenance for our body so that we can continue with our bodies. He gives us sustenance for our bodies so that we can focus on the good of the soul, and so that we can get closer to Him and have a greater confidence in Him. And yet we don't do it. So we need to learn from the faith of Susanna and Daniel in his first act of prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord moved over Daniel at the age of 12 for the very first time in the midst of a crowd. And if he did not respond to the Spirit of the Lord, the innocent blood would have been slain. But because one boy responded to the grace of God, and stood up upon a rock and spoke as one having the truth. As Bishop Sheen says, when you have the truth, do not speak as though you do not have it. Don't act like this is my opinion. We should never say that about the teachings of the Catholic faith. It's not my opinion. It is the truth. The Catholic Church is the true church founded by Jesus Christ. He is really God. And I do not say to a Mohammedan, I do not say to one who does not accept Him as God, well, it is my belief that He is God. He is God. And I will not speak as one without confidence, or will not speak in such a way as that another can believe that I think it's only my opinion and not the real objective truth. God really did do the things contained in sacred scripture. Susanna was a real woman. Daniel was a real boy. And he did save Susanna by following the inspiration of God. Moses really did cross the Red Sea, and all of the Egyptians were truly slain in that Red Sea. The truth is not mutable, and we must accept it and stand firmly upon it. And Susanna stands firmly upon her truth, and God fills in the gaps. And then at the conclusion of the epistle of yesterday, for Daniel had convicted them, the two elders, by the witness of their own mouth, and they did to them as they had maliciously dealt against their neighbor, and they put them to death, and innocent blood was saved in that day. And so the people rejoiced that innocent blood was saved. And innocent blood is saved because of total confidence in God. We need to ask for that total confidence, for that true faith. And there is no excuse that we should ever waver when being attacked by the world. And so let us ask the grace to not waver, but to follow the firm example of Susanna of the Old Testament and the other great holy women of the Old Testament as well. And then we'll be able to be instruments for the spreading of the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then be ready to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the only death is a death of sin. All other kinds of death we do not fear. And we'll close it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.